chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. I want to take the last part of verse 15, and we'll consider this just for a few moments. And be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. Now, I had a phone call this morning from a company in the United States, and at the end of the conversation, the operator said, "Have a happy Thanksgiving." And I was about to say, I don't live in the United States and we don't have Thanksgiving. I was about to say that when suddenly something arrested me and prevented me. And I thought to myself, that's not true. We may not have an official Thanksgiving Day as in North America, but as believers, we should have a Thanksgiving Day every day. And my mind was drawn to this little phrase at the end of verse 15. The apostle said, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. And I started to look through the scriptures concerning this exhortation to thankfulness. And as Christians, we ought to be a thankful people. The apostle here inserts this exhortation among all the other exhortations that he's giving here. He adds these words, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. It might seem something that is quite insignificant, and yet nothing could be further from the truth. Because what we find here in the first place is a command that is prominent. It's a command that we find repeated throughout the scriptures. It pervades the scripture. Thankfulness and gratitude is prominent in scripture, emphasized and exhorted to God's people, and it is something that ought to pervade our whole life as believers. The spirit of gratitude, the spirit of thankfulness. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Turn back just a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 4. And this well-known text of Scripture, the Apostle says here in verse 6, Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." So when we come before the Lord in prayer, our praying, our prayers are to be pervaded with the spirit of thanksgiving, with a thankful spirit. Turn back to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 100. Psalm 100, and this psalm depicts the entering into God's house, coming before the Lord in public worship before the Lord. And we're exhorted here in verse number 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." There's the Old Testament injunction this time. Be thankful unto him. And our, not only our praying is to be pervaded with thankfulness, but our praising, our worship of the Lord, whether in private, in personal fellowship with the Lord, or whether it be in public, we're to enter into the gates of the Lord's house with thanksgiving. So every time that we meet together, collectively, publicly, our services, our gatherings together are to be associated and characterized with thanksgiving. This pervades everything in our life. If you turn back to Psalm 95 and verse 2, Psalm 95 and verse 2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Our praising is to be characterized by a thankful spirit unto the Lord. Turn to Psalm 147, Psalm 147 and verse number 7. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." Our singing is to be with thanksgiving, with the giving of thanks unto the Lord. I'm just showing you here how this command is prominent. It is to pervade every aspect of our life as a believer, as a Christian. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy and the chapter 4. And this time, the Apostle Paul is speaking in reference to eating. And he says there, he's speaking about the last day, some who will command to abstain from meats, verse 3, which God hath created, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So even when it comes down to the eating of our food, the eating of our daily bread, we are to partake with thanksgiving, with the giving of thanks unto the Lord. We could multiply references of Scripture, but turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and this really sums it all up. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Thankfulness is commanded, and it is a command that is prominent. It is a command that pervades every aspect of our life. We're to give thanks in all things. We're to give thanks always for all things unto God. The spirit of gratitude for mercies that have been received and enjoyed. What is a thankful spirit? It is simply the recognition and the acknowledgement of God's goodness to us. Our thanksgiving is to be directed to the Lord, giving thanks unto God, giving thanks always for all things. It is recognizing God's goodness. And it is the acknowledgement of that goodness that we have received and benefited from. And so that spirit of thankfulness is to be in our praying, it's to be in our praising, our public worship, it's to be in our singing, it's to be in our very eating, what we partake of. In all things, the spirit of thankfulness, the spirit of gratitude is to characterize the people of God. This is a command that is prominent. And I think when you take all those texts of Scripture, I think you can begin to understand why there was an arresting made me think that every day is to be a day of thanksgiving. But not only is this a command that's prominent, it's a characteristic that is beneficial. A thankful spirit brings many blessings, brings many benefits. It's attended and accompanied with many benefits. Now turn to Colossians again, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. We're just really taking this theme of thanksgiving, giving thanks and being thankful, and looking at how the Scripture turns its light, its spotlight upon that theme. And the apostle in chapter 2 of Colossians, he says in verse 7 that we are rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I want you to notice here the connection that he makes between thanksgiving and faith. And what he is saying here, that this establishing of our faith, this strengthening of our faith will abound when it is accompanied with thanksgiving. Faith flourishes when thanksgiving abounds. The appreciation of yesterday's mercies, think of this, that thanksgiving is recognizing the Lord's goodness and acknowledging it. And when we recognize yesterday's mercies, they become tomorrow's hope. They become the basis of hope for tomorrow. And therefore, it strengthens faith. Thankfulness is the soil from which faith grows. And it receives all of its nutrients whereby it is strengthened. Where there is a spirit of gratitude in the heart of the believer, there will be a faith that is established and a faith that is growing and a faith that is abounding. It strengthens faith. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And if you take a careful study of this subject of thankfulness and gratitude, you'll discover that a thankful spirit is always associated with joy and gladness. And that means that where there is a thankful spirit, it will have this blessing of banishing sorrow, banishing sadness. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody." Notice that thanksgiving is coupled here with joy and gladness. And of course, where you have joy and gladness, sorrow is banished. Sadness cannot abide long where a thankful heart is found. It not only strengthens faith, but it banishes sorrow. A believer who is full of gratitude and thankful will be a happy believer, a joyful believer, recognizing the goodness of God, even in those things that seem to be against us. I've mentioned many times the case of Alexander White, renowned for being thankful, and then coming into church, getting a drenching, walking up to the pulpit soaked, and two wee women at the front said, one said to the other, "I wonder what he'll thank God for today." And he started praying and he said, "Lord, we thank thee that every day's not like this." And he had a spirit of thankfulness. And even when the sky is dark, when the clouds are dark, there's something that brings joy and gladness to the heart where there is thankfulness. A thankful spirit will banish sorrow. It will do something else. It will destroy envy. An envious person is an ungrateful person. Envy springs out of ingratitude, because that envious spirit can only see what others have and not what the Lord has given to him or her to her. It is an envious spirit is the begrudging of God's goodness to someone else. When a person's envious, they look at what someone else has and they begrudge God's goodness to that person, instead of considering God's goodness to them. But where there is a thankful spirit, there's a recognition of God's goodness, and there's an appreciation of it, and that thankfulness will conquer envy within the heart. That's why this is so important. But not only does it destroy envy, it imitates heaven. It brings the atmosphere of heaven into the soul. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And here we are brought to the throne room of God. And we find here this great multitude that no man could number. And they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're made white. They sing salvation to our God. Verse 11 says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Heaven is the place where thankfulness is perfected. Heaven's a thankful place. Heaven is a place full of gratitude. And remember, these are angels who are speaking. And the angels did not need a redeemer, did not need a savior. They're listening to this great company of fallen humanity redeemed by the blood of Christ, worshipping God for saving grace. The angels are watching, they are observing. They cannot identify or relate with the song of the redeemed, but notice the effect. They fell down, they worshipped God, and they gave thanks. They're giving thanks for the salvation of fallen humanity. Thanksgiving. And if that thanksgiving is characterized in angels, how much more in those who are redeemed and those who are made whole and perfect and glorified in holiness. Heaven is the atmosphere of thanksgiving. And when we are a thankful people here on this earth, when we cultivate the spirit of gratitude, we're bringing heaven into our souls. A foretaste of heaven. Turn to Psalm number 69. Psalm 69, and another great benefit that flows out of this spirit of thanksgiving is that it glorifies God, strengthens our faith, and it destroys envy. It imitates heaven. It brings the atmosphere of heaven. Psalm number 69 says in verse number 30 of the psalm, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving glorifies God, magnifies him, causes him to be seen in all the wonder of his grace. It glorifies the Lord, and the Lord is pleased with that. And if it glorifies God, then it will influence others. A thankful spirit will influence others. Turn back to Psalm 26. Psalm 26 and verse 7. And the psalmist says here, verse number 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And here he is walking round about the altar. He's contemplating the sacrifice and the finished work, the great plan of redemption. It thrills his heart. He has a desire to tell forth what the Lord has done. And how does he do it? He does it with the voice of thanksgiving. He speaks of what the Lord has done, and he speaks in gratitude. And that's what affects others. To glorify God is to make him appear glorious in the eyes of others, in the sight of others. We can't make the Lord any more glorious than what he is. But the thought is, when we glorify God, we're causing him to be seen by others. And what is it that will magnify the Lord before others? It's a thankful spirit. It's a grateful spirit. When God's people are filled with gratitude for what the Lord has done, that's what will have the greatest effect upon those who do not know the Lord. Thankfulness is one of the most powerful and most effective means of evangelizing. One of the most effective. God's people being thankful to the Lord for what he has done. That's seen by others. And it has a powerful effect on others where there is a grateful spirit. You can see here the characteristic of it is most beneficial. But one final thought, its cause is spiritual. Its cause is spiritual. Thankfulness, the spirit of gratitude is no easy work because it's not natural. The natural man, fallen man, is unthankful. He doesn't recognize the Lord's goodness. He doesn't appreciate the Lord's goodness. It's the characteristic of fallen man. Indeed, Paul speaks about that, especially in connection with the last days. He, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, he gives a list there of the traits of fallen humanity that will be even more pronounced at the end of the age. And one of them is unthankfulness. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. He's touching there upon the nature of man in his sinful state. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 states, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They were not thankful. That's the characteristic of fallen man. And therefore, where and when this quality of gratitude is found, its source, its cause is not natural, but rather its cause is spiritual. The source is the grace of God and the God of all grace. Come back to Colossians chapter 3. We've gone a little bit everywhere through the scriptures, but I wanted to trace this subject, but we'll conclude here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." By Him. And those two words that conclude that verse 17 indicate it is only by union with Jesus Christ that we become thankful, that that spirit of gratitude becomes characteristic of our hearts and lives. It is manifested in us. Paul is saying here that the Lord Jesus is the energizing cause. He is the energizing source of this grace of thankfulness. It is absent in fallen man. It is contrary to fallen man's nature. He's not thankful. He doesn't recognize the goodness of God. He doesn't appreciate it. But where that spirit of gratitude is manifested, it can be traced back to the grace of God, to union with Jesus Christ, to His work within the heart, transforming the life and bringing forth this beautiful grace of thankfulness. Paul says, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. And there's a sense there in which he's talking about becoming thankful, becoming more and more thankful. And that only happens the more we dwell in fellowship with Christ, and the more He works upon our hearts by His grace. When He does so, then we shall be full of thanks. We shall manifest a grateful spirit. And a grateful Christian, a thankful Christian, is someone whose life will have a magnetism. A person who's unthankful, they're miserable, and you don't want to be anywhere near them. But when you get someone who has this spirit of thankfulness, there's an attraction. There's a magnetism. And it causes the soul to be blessed, to be enriched, to be profited. May the Lord help us to be thankful Christians, to meditate on this subject, and then to apply it to our lives. Let's start to be more and more thankful. And may every day be a day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. We have so much to thank the Lord for, so much to give the Lord thanks for. And we will be thanking Him for all eternity for what the Lord has done for us. Let's sing another hymn before we